You are listening to You Totally Made That Up. We are a bi-weekly history podcast that tells you about the weirdest, craziest, strangest, most bizarre stories that we can find from the way back when, and sometimes the not so way back when. And these are spooky snacks. If you're listening for the first time, these are the little short mini episodes that we'll sometimes stick in between the big episodes. And typically our whole shtick is we like stories that have some sort of supernatural, paranormal, woo-woo, magic, something nutty like that, those type of elements, except that they have to be true, even if those parts are only true to the people who live them. So we don't do stuff like the lore says or the legend goes. We don't go for all that. You can find that on other podcasts. Our stories have to be true, like we say. We want facts and dates and names, but these are different. These can be anything. These can be stories from y'all. These can be your personal stories of weird happenings from your life or your family or your neighborhood or your town or your state. They can be suggestions for stuff. And these can be lore and legend and not true, or at least.
Not backed up by facts.
Exactly. Let's put it that way. Unverifiable. Is that a word? Unverifiable? Unverified?
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
And you'll hear in the outro how to get in touch with us on social media and the email address and all that jazz. And so on that note, today's spooky snack is straight from the listeners. We got two listener suggestions. We loved them both. And I guess we'll just get right into it.
Let's do it. We didn't introduce ourselves, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm Nash.
And I am Tiff.
All right. Now let's get into it.
Now let's do it. Okay. Here we go. So this comes to us via Tumblr. Listener Smee727 says, a bunch of my Facebook friends were going on about a local place featured on Ghost Adventures. Holy shit snacks. It's perfect for you ladies. Franklin Castle in Cleveland, Ohio. I'd love to hear your take on it. Okay, yeah. And I'm going to stop there because Smee went on to give a really, really good summary about stuff that was going on with this house in order to try to convince us. And don't worry, we were totally convinced. We are in. All right, so Franklin Castle is called Franklin Castle because, number one, it's on Franklin Boulevard. And number two, because it does very much look like a castle. It's this Victorian Queen Anne design. Really, really pretty. Of course, there's going to be a picture in the show notes. It was built between 1881 and 1883 by the owner Hans Tiedemann, and it's also referred to as the Tiedemann House. Now, Hans was born in Germany in 1833. He immigrated to the United States in 1848 with his mother and five siblings. He started out as a barrel maker. He ended up being a really successful banker and co-founded and was president of Union Banking and Savings Company of Cleveland, Ohio. He was also investing along the way, so he ended up pretty wealthy. So, of course, that's how he ended up with this big-ass house. And it's, like, really, really big. Four stories, over 20 rooms, it's got, like, 80 windows. And then there's a ballroom that runs across the length of the fourth floor that was added. There's turrets, there's gargoyles on the exterior, so that's where you get the whole castle thing from. Living in the house were Hans, his mother, Wiebke? Yeah, it starts with a W, but I know the Germans like to say that with a V.
Yeah, we'll go with Wiebke.
Wiebke. I like it. His wife, Luisa, and then his and Luisa's children, and there were six of them. Three died in infancy. There was one daughter who died when she was 15. They all died in the house. And then, if we're going to get really specific, that one daughter died in January of 1891, reportedly due to diabetic complications. And then not long after that, the grandmother died. And then over the course of the next 3 years, it sounds like Luisa had babies like back to back to back because basically every year another infant died. And then, bam, 1895, Luisa dies of liver disease. Understandably, of course, rumors start going around that there's something going on in the house and that's why all these people are dropping dead. So let's just go through some of those rumors and some of the reported hauntings and events at this house. On top of all of the additions to the house that I mentioned, you know, that ballroom, the turrets, there were rumors that hidden passageways, concealed rooms, and hidden doors were also added during these renovations, though none of these secret spaces have ever been found. According to these rumors, the hidden passageways, if they exist, were used by Hans Tiedemann to meet with his mistress for an illicit love affair and perhaps even to commit murder.
Ooh.
All right. It's getting juicy.
It's getting something. Something's getting laid on thick, but okay. I'll reserve my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. This is getting good. This is very soap opera-like. I like it.
Uh-huh.
So, supposedly, Hans murdered his insane niece. Where did this niece come from? Whatever.
Who knows?
He hung her from a rafter in a tunnel that's hidden off the ballroom. This sounds like a game of Clue. But then another version of this says that the girl was his illegitimate daughter, Karen, because he supposedly was having affairs with various servants.
Gah!
And Karen is one of the ghosts people say is haunting the place. Another ghost that's reported is, of course, one of those servant mistresses, a woman named Rachel. And when Hans found out she was going to marry somebody else, he murdered her on her wedding day. Dick, move, Hans. I don't like it. All right. Now, people have seen her walking around the tower room dressed in all black, of course, because apparently with ghosts, it's either all black or all white. I don't know. The afterlife is like monochromatic.
Well, and the one woman, if they were telling the story right, would be in her wedding dress.
You'd think so.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she was ahead of her time, wearing a black dress to her wedding. I don't know. All right. The three babies that died in the house? People, of course, have said that they've heard babies crying. Now, jumping ahead, after the wife, Louisa, died, Hans apparently got remarried very quickly. He and his new wife moved on to another house. And then they actually got divorced after 2 years, and he ended up dying of a stroke in 1908. Now, before all of that, he ended up selling Franklin Castle to a family of brewers, the Mulhausers. They sold the house in 1913 to a local branch of the German Socialist Party, and they used it for conducting meetings and holding gatherings, that kind of stuff. But of course, let's think about the time frame. There were rumors that it was being used as a headquarters for Nazi spies and covert operations related to World War I. Oh boy. Rumors to do with the time frame that this group owned the house include, quote, a gruesome murder in one of the secret passages. There was no detail available, and at some point, again without any other details, 20 people were shot outside of the house with machine guns for political reasons. But if you Google Franklin Castle shooting, nothing comes up. So, man, the newspapers really missed out on that one. That was headline news. For real.
They dropped the ball on that one. I mean, no, clearly that would have been in the paper. Like, there's no way to hide something like that.
They have neighbors that are hard of hearing?
Okay.
I don't know. You don't know their lives, Nash, okay? Don't assume anything. So the group owned this house for a while, until 1968, and during that span the house was mostly empty, but it also sounds like it was kind of a boarding house and they would rent out some of the rooms. A retired I was going to say retired hearse, but nope, that's a car. That's not a person, Tiffany. Okay. A retired nurse was interviewed in the 1970s, and she said that she went to stay in the house to attend to an attorney who was boarding there, and she would hear children crying at night. But again, the newspapers apparently really dropped the ball on this because you can't find that interview anywhere. So, moving on, the house was sold in 1968 to the Romanos, and they had 6 children because that's like a thing for this house. You have to have 6 children to live in this house. Anyways, quote, on the day that the family moved in to Franklin Castle, Mrs. Romano sent her children to play upstairs in the house. They soon came back down to ask for a cookie to share with their new friend, a little girl who was upstairs crying. Mrs. Romano went upstairs to look for the little girl, but she was nowhere to be found. Ooh.
Well, and you know, kids never have imaginary friends. Kids never make shit up.
No.
This was clearly a ghost.
It was. It was. I mean, the kids continued to play with these, quote, imaginary friends. We know that they're ghosts, okay? But we'll say they're imaginary friends all the time. Other weird things that happened while the Romanos were there was that they would find 1900s era clothing in random spots. I don't know, I guess. That would be weird to me. Maybe not to some people, but...
Well, and the random spots, like, does that mean left in a closet, or they found a box in an attic space, or do you know what I mean? Like, that could mean anything. Or do they mean, I turned around and in the kitchen, it was... There was a, do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I went to get out a frying pan and there in the cabinet was some lingerie. I mean,
Yeah, I suppose. And again, you've got that many rooms to go through. Who knows what was left behind?
Right.
I don't know. They could have been more clear with that, but that's what we've got to work with. Other things, and this is a little bit more creepy, is that they would hear footsteps on stairs and in hallways. In the ballroom, they would hear talking and dancing. They would hear organ music. They would hear voices in different rooms, you know.
Did you say organ music?
Oregon?
Did you?
They would hear music from Oregon.
You might not have. Again, my brain tonight, I'm fried. I'm not drunk. I'm just fried.
Oh, and I'm tipsy. We're quite a pair.
All right. Here we go. Well, organ music. So, okay. Organ music. Got it.
All right.
Okay.
They would hear voices in different rooms, you know, the usual kind of haunting stuff. Now, they eventually called in a Catholic priest to check out the house. This Catholic priest was kind of a dick because he goes, I'm not going to do an exorcism, but there's definitely evil here and you guys should move out. So.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Father. Thanks. Loads of help.
Yeah. Doing the Lord's work there. Thank you. Totally, totally helpful. And they ended up not taking his advice. They did not move. Instead, they called a bunch of paranormal investigators, not the Warrens. There's another, you know, check against this place. Come on now.
Oh, God. Don't get us started on the Warrens. There's an episode. Go listen to it.
They did call the Northeast Ohio Psychical Research Group. And quote, these professional ghost hunters ran from the home screaming in the middle of their investigation. I don't know if I'd say they're professionals, but okay, it's just really, really hard to find good help. But the family did eventually move in 1974. They sold the home to a man named Sam Muscatello. And Sam, he was like, the supernatural stuff, it's a bunch of crap. But I can make money off of this. Good idea, Sam. He starts hosting these ghost tours. One place saying that his goal was to raise enough money to turn it into a church. A church of what? I don't know, but sure. And according to his notes, visitors were experiencing all of the usual haunting stuff. They would see the woman in black. They would feel cold spots here and there. Objects would vanish. And of course, you know, the crying babies. Then he claims that in 1975, while he was searching all these hidden passages and hidden rooms, whatever, he finds human bones in the wall, behind a panel, in the tower room. Some places say that he found three baby skeletons, you know, because of the three dead Tiedemann infants. But other places claim that it was one of the boarders from when the Germans would rent out rooms, and there was some evil doctor who was performing experiments on children. Blah, blah, blah. It's all disaster. These people are all disasters. I don't know what else to say about it. A lot of people decided that this was just a publicity stunt on the part of Muscatello to drum up business. You gotta kind of wonder, where are these skeletons coming from? Like, did he show them to people? Was this like another tourist attraction? Everyone's just cool with these skeletons being in the house?
Assuming it's a hoax, which I do, where did he get them?
Right. You know, I think maybe somebody should be looking into him a little bit more, but...
This is the question that should be asked. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't end up going well for him. The business ends up being a bust. He sells the house. You know, there's kind of owners flip-flopping the house back and forth. There's lots of voices. There's sightings. There's sounds. Flying orbs, there's demon growls added into the list of stuff going on in this house. There's an incident where somebody feels like they're being choked, and they're able to hear the girl that was hanged choking to death. There was stuff mentioned about the ghost of a victim of an axe murderer haunting the front tower. Ghosts of bootleggers, because there's a tunnel and a still that was found underneath the house. You know, just goes on and on and on. And there's a lot added to this legend as far as who died in this house, who haunts this house. Then finally, 1984, there's this other weird turn. And it's bought by Judy Garland's last husband, which was her fifth. I didn't realize that she had five husbands.
I knew she had a lot.
I didn't realize it was like up that high, though. Poor Judy. Poor Judy. Can we just have a moment to say poor Judy? Because her life was...
She had a rough life. Yeah, she had a rough life.
She did. There were ups and downs and didn't go well for her. Anyways, this guy, Michael DeVinco, his stage name was Mickey Dean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I recognize that name.
So he goes through a lot of trouble. He goes through a lot of money. He renovates this house and ends up putting it up for sale in 1994. It remained empty until 1999 when Michelle Heimberger buys it, and then she starts to restore it. As this is going on, there's this terrible fire. I mean, it's really bad. It's so bad that the house almost needs to be demolished because it's like, what else can you do with it at that point? And then after that, it just kind of sits empty because there's a lot of questions. Is it worth rebuilding? What are we going to do with it? It's haunted. So, all right, here's just a quote for what happened after that. In 2004, there were rumors that Franklin Castle was going to be completely renovated and turned into the Franklin Castle Club. As of 2006, the entire club was proven to be a complete sham. No repairs had ever been made, and the pictures on the website were all either close-up shots of individual architecture or pictures stolen from other websites. No work had ever been done. No memberships had ever been sold. There was also evidence that the castle had been used to shoot pornography. So, you know, it's really gone from... I kind of wonder what some of those videos would be like. Are they cashing in on the haunted theme? Or are they just ignoring it and going someplace else with it? I don't know. If somebody knows, don't tell me. I don't care that much.
Porn castle. Porn castle. The porn castle of Ohio. Nice.
Right? Well, then after that, there's another fire in 2011. It's like, this place is just, it's not meant to be.
I mean, Jesus wept.
Yeah.
Yeah, take a hint. Whether you believe in it's God or the universe, or take a hint.
Right.
Good night.
Somebody do something. Put it out of its misery. It's supposed to be gone. But as of 2011, it's privately owned. And while one place said it's not open to the public, there have been a couple of TV shows that have at least gained access. And like Smee, who submitted this, said, the Ghost Hunters went there recently, and then there was another show called Paranormal Lockdown that filmed there in 2016. That's Franklin Castle, and I wanna go there. Not for the pornography.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, just because there's a lot happening. There's a lot that's going on at this location. And I'm curious.
I think it's bullshit. The porn part, I believe, of all that you just said.
That's the most believable part?
Yeah, it being an abandoned house and people sneaking in and filming porn. That, I believe, that's the most believable thing.
Yeah, you're probably right. But my God, wasn't that a journey?
I mean, we went from dead babies to Judy Garland's husband to...
Don't forget the Nazis and the bootleggers.
To Nazis, to Judy, yeah. Oh, man.
If you're going to do like a fun 6 degrees separation game.
That'd be it.
Franklin Castle's got you all set, I think.
Yeah, that's true. If you did a 6 degrees of paranormal separation, just if you could somehow get to Franklin Castle with one of your moves, you'd win every time. Every time.
That's the Kevin Bacon of 6 degrees.
Yep. Yes, it is. Franklin Castle is the Kevin Bacon of paranormal 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think that's it.
With apologies to Kevin Bacon.
I think he'd take that in stride. I think he'd be okay with it.
He's pretty good humored about the 6 degrees thing in general, so.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Thank you, Smee, for bringing that up to us so that we can learn so much history about a very specific place that has some dubious facts.
Ohio, man. Ohio's come in with the clutch on more than one occasion for us here on the podcast. So,
yeah, some other states, you got to bring it. I want to hear what else is going on.
Yeah, and Ireland. And have we done any from England yet? The one I'm about to do is from England, or not from a listener. I don't think we've done one from a listener from England, have we?
I don't think so.
And I don't know that this listener's from England. I might be putting this on them. And but well, all right. I'll just start. This one is a suggestion from Instagram from Gibson1687, and they said, "Hi, found your podcast recently and love it. Just caught up with the latest episode. I was wondering if you had plans to set up a Patreon. I'd definitely chip in. Now I have to stop here." That is amazing. There's no Patreon yet, but definitely something to think about. Maybe doing that and moving these spooky snacks and our outtakes over to it. Something to think about, definitely. But listen, that you'd be willing to do it means the world.
It does. That's, wow.
Absolutely. That's a big deal. I don't even know what to say. Thank you. You're the first one to say it, so thank you. But continuing. Also, have a weird local story for you. Okay, local. There we go. So must be in England. All right. Have a weird local story for you. Might be good for a spooky snack. Downton Abbey's very own tree fish? Well, oh, Gibson. Oh, but yes, you have my attention. Now, this thing, this cryptid, is called the High Clear Grampus. And don't let your mind go to grandpas or Krampus and or a grandpa Krampus, like my mind did, as fantastic as that would be. But no, no, no. If you were to Google the word Grampus, you would find a bunch of information on a certain animal. And Tiff, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to guess. And the request already gave you a hint, which was fish. So
I'm imagining one of those like giant catfish kind of things. I watch a lot of River Monsters.
So. Oh, excellent show. Excellent show.
So, you know, it's always a catfish. I don't know. That's
true. There are some heifers, man. Catfish can get. There's something else. I mean, they do. When I say heifer, they look like you could milk them. They are fat and happy. All right. Well, per the Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, Grampus, scientific classification Grampus griseus, also called Riso's dolphin, a common offshore inhabitant of tropical and temperate ocean waters. A member of the dolphin family, the Grampus measures about 4 meters, approximately 13 feet in length, and has a blunt head and a distinct longitudinal forehead crease. It is unique among dolphins in usually having no upper teeth and from 0 to 7 teeth in the lower jaw.
This sounds hideous. I'm sorry, all dolphins.
It's a real looker. Picture in show notes, naturally. But who are we kidding? All dolphins are cute, you know. They really are. He's a sweet little booger. It goes on to say, the term Grampus is derived from the Latin terms for great, grandis, and fish. Pisces?
Pisces.
Whatever.
Okay. All right.
Pisces. P-I-S-C-I-S. Pisces. Pisces. Who cares? And it has been applied over the centuries to many large fish and also to some other cetaceans, including the killer whale. So we got a nice little spread here for a tree fish. Now, real quick about our location. It's on an estate in Highclere, which is a village in Hampshire, England. And as Gibson said, it's the filming location of Downton Abbey, because on this particular property is a country home called Highclere Castle. So viewers of the show will be familiar with that structure. But also on the grounds is the Highclere Church. Near the church happens to be this ginormous, gnarly old yew tree. And I'll put a picture up for you. But to describe it, it looks as if several trees, because it's not just tall, it's a really bulky thing. It looks like as if several trees, the trunks have kind of bunched up together and like a couple of the trunks look split. So it has these big gaps here and there. That's the best way I can describe it for you. And to give you an idea of how much space is there, I saw a photo of a guy standing beside it, and assuming he's of average height, so let's say 6 feet tall, and he's a lanky dude. He's not super skinny or anything, but not overweight by any means. It looks like, assuming some creative contortion abilities on his part to make it through the splits, he could fit into the gaps. And I mean, also assuming that there's not smaller trunk action going on inside there, because I can't tell due to the shadows. But okay, there's your setup. That tree is what this grandpa is said to have lived in, just peeking out and harassing people. And what exactly was it doing? What were people seeing and hearing? Quote, while there's not much of a written record concerning this unique beast, what has been passed down through the centuries are eyewitness accounts of a strange, wheezing animal that was said to resemble, at least on the surface, a dolphin or a porpoise. While the Grampus was not considered to be a particularly dangerous vermin, it did manage to terrify locals by emitting a disturbing cacophony of guttural noises and, even more alarmingly, chasing anyone, primarily, it would seem, young women, foolish enough to wander too close to its domicile. What method of locomotion it used to propel itself in these pursuits remains a mystery. Copy that. I'm a bit at a loss for words. I suppose the first thing that I would submit is that it is in desperate need of water and that it is begging these people for water or to be put down. One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
The best guess as to how it got its name was because of the heavy breathing and puffing that it reminded somebody of a whale. Because apparently there was this expression way back when where you could describe somebody as puffing like a whale. But again, this tree, just no way could a killer whale fit in there. And like we said about dolphins, we're talking like 13 feet ballpark. So I guess a baby dolphin? By the way, now I have to stop here. Running through my mind at a breakneck speed is that South Park episode where they keep saying dolphin and whale? Do you know what I'm talking about? The one where Stan's upset about the killing of dolphins. Listen, if I can find a clip, I will stick it in show notes. It is one of my favorite episodes. But okay, back to the story. So like the quote said, not a lot of written info on this sucker, but one reference comes from an 1890 book by a dude named Andrew Lang called Life, Letters, and Diaries of Sir Stafford Northcote, 1st Earl of Iddesleigh. And who is this Northcote person? Well, he was a British politician, born 1818, died 1887, and he apparently really enjoyed paranormal stuff. In his diary, he wrote about this creature, though he called it the Grumpus, so now it's a cranky dolphin. And per Lang, quote, a few days in autumn he spent in Highclere. His shooting was execrable. And y'all, I have a pretty damn good vocabulary stash in the old brain, but that one got me. Had to look it up. He's basically saying that his hunting was a big fail, specifically extremely bad or unpleasant, says the dictionary. Okay, so hunting was a bust. But he was consoled with an evening of ghost stories. Mrs. Blank, they've redacted her name for some unknown reason. Mrs. Blank had the advantage of us in having seen a ghost. He expected a visit from Grumpus, the Highclere bogey. And damn it, I had another look up. Bogey means an evil or mischievous spirit, so boogeyman, I guess. He expected a visit from Grumpus, the Highclere bogey, who, it is true, had been laid in the Red Sea for 100 years, but his time there was now nearly expired. Okay, what?
Huh?
Y'all, what? Put in the Red Sea for 100 years. Now, I only know of one Red Sea. I don't know about y'all, but I Googled to make sure that there wasn't another one, and sure enough, the Red Sea ain't in England. It's an inlet of the Indian Ocean, and it's between Africa and Asia. It is hell and gone from Highclere. I read on, and my primary source says, and by the way, let me stop here. Good luck finding scoop on this thing. So I'm operating mostly out of Cryptopedia for this one. Bless y'all's hearts. So it goes on to say that while Northcote wrote that the Grampus was banished for 100 years, quote, most accounts agree, what accounts? Again, what accounts? Most accounts agree that this beast was cast out for no less than millennia. Assuming that the 1,000-year exile is accurate, that would place the Grampus's tenure in the yew tree in Hampshire County at somewhere in the order of the late 9th century A.D. Okay, could that yew tree have been there for that long? Could it arborist and other tree gurus write in? Because I don't know and I ain't looking it up, but I doubt it. I then wondered who banished it, and all that I found was this measly sentence in another source, quote, the beast was eventually exorcised by a local clergyman who banished the animal to the Red Sea for 1,000 years. Okay, thank you. That cleared it all up. I have no clue what to say or how to wrap this up, except that I guess we'll bring it back around to Downton Abbey, and I'll say that I would love to see Maggie Smith's Dowager Countess just whoop its ass. Whoop its little dolphin ass.
It sounds like a little evolutionary monster that just didn't make it.
No.
No? You don't think so?
No. I don't know what... And y'all, I have racked my brain. I'm like, mutant squirrel. No. Trapped beaver. No. I couldn't, legit. I'm thinking of a wheezing animal. Okay. Something that probably had a long snout. It had to have had a long snout. So it's like wheezy and huffy, trapped in a tree. And with the shadows and shit, let's, again, I'm trying my hardest to give these people the benefit of the doubt. With the, like I say, with all the shadows and the, it has the appearance of, it's not, but it has the appearance of like trees wrapped around each other, kind of. I'm legit racking my brain trying to think of a snouted animal that could have gotten trapped, because the wheezing and all could be due to suffocation, right? So,
yeah.
But I can't think of anything.
No, keep going. I want to hear this theory.
No, I'm done. I'm done. If you're new, by the way, I'm the one that doesn't believe, you know, 90. That's why I like the true stories aspect of what we do, because I don't like the whole things that people say or the legend was passed down. That, you know, fuck that. It's a giant game of telephone. And I don't believe any of it. So I try to dig for what could be the baseline truth. And the baseline truth here is that some, just like with yours, okay, the baseline truth is that this family had a series of deaths in that house.
Okay, yeah. And then Nazis. Yeah.
And then it just metastasized, right? Yeah, and a German group who may or may not have had anything to do with Nazi anything owned the house at one point. And then, you know, Judy Garland's husband, that's documented. So, like, there's a fact trail, but then all the shit in between. So I'm trying to look for what could possibly, amongst all of this, be something factual. Well, the tree's factual. We've got a picture of it. And I cannot, I'm trying to think of an animal and I just can't.
Someone as a prank put a dolphin in a tree.
No. Duckbill platypus? No. Because the shadows and all, so it might appear to be bigger. And if it's been compressed, it might have swollen.
Are there like, are there seals in the sea or in the waterways near there?
And somebody put it in a tree. Well, no, a seal has a short little snout. I mean, it don't have a snout. It's like a little pug. You know what I mean? To me, at least. They're more pug.
Yeah. But maybe there is an elongated shadow.
Or somebody put like a weenie dog in a tree, you know?
I don't know.
I have no idea. My little weenie dog is laying beside me asleep right now. He's a fluffy weenie dog. Maybe somebody put a fluffy weenie dog in a tree. I have no idea.
No, there's definitely a dolphin in a tree.
No, there's not. We're done.
I feel like it's a wise creature. I feel like I could ask it questions about the universe and I could find out really, really good things.
Do you know Kevin Bacon? We're done with this episode. I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done with this episode. Yes, I'm done. I'm frustrated. I'm done. Nazis and dolphins and goddamn Kevin Bacon.
It is just too much for you?
I can't, and I'm spoiled for choice for titles for this one. Nazi Kevin Bacon Dolphin, and then we get sued, and then, no.
Mm-mm.
All right, we're done. Like we say, keep listening for how to get in touch with us. The outro's coming up, and this is where the catchphrase goes.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. As a reminder, you can check out our sources for each of the episodes at show notes, along with any supplemental things we think you might enjoy.
Visit us on our blog at youtotallymadethatup.tumblr.com. You can also find us on Twitter at YTMTUpodcast and on Instagram at youtotallymadethatup. Feel free to contact us on those platforms, and you can also email us. That address is youtotallymadethatup@gmail.com.